as the teaching or whatever it is, as it's going on, please, if you have questions, write it down, because we are going to give time to answer the questions. Praise the Lord. And beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. That means if you don't love, you are not born of God. And knoweth God. You cannot claim you know God when you don't love. Verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you are God-like, that means love should be your identity also. We are not talking about the worldly kind of love. We're talking about the God kind of love, the agape love. Praise the Lord. There's a relationship between agape, unconditional love of God, and forgiveness. It's agape, it's unconditional love and forgiveness. Remember, the topic is let go and let God. There's a relationship between unconditional love and forgiveness. That's why, even if the condition is all right, God wants you to forgive. In other words, condition does not need to be right before you do what is right. And what is right is forgiveness. It's just like for unconditional love, condition does not need to be right before you do what is right, to love. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's unconditional love. So for forgiveness also, condition does not need to be right. That's why it's unconditional. Praise the Lord. You know, every day people offend us. Every day people offend us. And it really hurts. Sometimes they will say some things like, was it last week also? I heard what somebody said against me or something. It hurts. But you have to let go and let God. Praise God. I know many people have, you know, your own various stories like that. But do you know that it is possible for somebody to go to hell for a crime that is committed, not because you committed the crime, but because you did not forgive the person that committed the crime? Let me take it again. Somebody committed a crime or an offense, and because of that, you have that person in your heart. You are not forgiving that person. And the person, after that time, he goes to repent, reconcile with God, and then he goes to heaven. And then you, because of unforgiveness, you go to hell. Somebody say, God forbid. So that is why forgiveness is very, very important. You know, it's not easy. It's not theory. It's practical. Because we live in a world where even your best friend can be your worst enemy. I had a story of someone, she relocated with a husband to the United States, and things were going well. Incidentally, they had no children. And she wanted to help the sister who was suffering. Discussed with the husband, they brought the sister to the U.S., and when she got there, the next thing, she started flirting with the husband. And because of money, and he was sending money to the mother. And when this girl now, or woman, called the boy, mommy, can't you see what this person is doing to me? He said, just leave her alone. Praise the Lord. If you're in that condition, would you forgive your sister, or will you forgive your mother? If somebody raped you as a woman and dumped you to marry another person, will you forgive that person? If your best friend is having an affair with your spouse, it happens, will you forgive? Or you entrusted so much wealth, money, or asset into the hand of a trusted friend, and then the person decides to embezzle it. I had a story, was it last week or so? This man, he has a company, he's growing the company, and he brought his friend in. Now, as the company is becoming worldwide, this person, first of all, he said he tried to poison him. And when that one did not work, then he tried to use Kimin to take over the business. A friend that you brought into the company. That is the heart of man. Supposing you were in school, or when you were in school, your colleague, this among especially sisters now, they collect money from man to arrange you, and you didn't know. Say, let's just go visit somewhere and only for you to be defied. And you wanted to marry as a virgin. Will you forgive that your friend? Will you forgive that your friend? You know, there are many cases that beg for attention. Supposing you were sold into slavery like Joseph by your own blood brothers, will you forgive those your brothers? Will you? Will you forgive? So these are issues. They hurt. They are painful. And it's very difficult to forgive. But I don't know why God is saying, as difficult as it is, let go and let God. God is saying, I know how you feel. I know you've been hurt. Your life is shattered, battered. He said, but let go and let God. Why? Forgiveness is not an event. Forgiveness is a process. It doesn't just happen like that. It's a process. Forgiveness is to let God come into the situation. Let go of the hurt. You know, sometimes it's easy for people, well, I'm forgiving this person. But when you hear the name of the person, you know, even in the church, there are people that they can't pray together. Even as you are sitting, it could be someone you don't joke together, you don't greet each other, and you may be in the same fellowship. The same fellowship. You may even be praying together, but divided attention. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coal of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, let it be that person's problem, not your problem. If he hurts you, let it be his problem. Praise the Lord. For us to drive home this point, I want to talk a few things about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is related to love. You want to forgive the person you love. Praise God. You want to forgive the person you love. You may not forgive without loving, but you cannot love without forgiving. You may not forgive without loving, but you can't love without forgiving. Especially the God kind of love, unconditional love. Unconditional love will say, he will not wait for the person to come to kneel down for you. No. But you are simply obeying God's injunction. I will come to that. Number two, forgiveness is a litmus test of genuine love. It authenticates the proof of the love of God in your life. Forgiveness. If you are still, you know, is in our time, people harbor unforgiveness and call it different names. and justify it. Praise the Lord. Forgiveness must be done as an act of obedience to God and love for the offender. Forgive not because the person qualifies. Forgive because you love God. Forgive because you want to obey God. Forgiveness is not a weakness. No, it's not a weakness. In the actual fact, it is strength. It is power. It is love. It's not a weakness. Forgiveness is the best favor you can do for yourself. The best favor you can do for yourself is forgiveness. Do yourself a favor. Forgive that person. Because when you forgive, you are not helping that person, you are helping yourself. We'll come to that later. Forgiveness is not about the past event. But forgiveness is about what you do in the present to secure a glorious future. Forgiveness. How many times will somebody offend you before you can forgive? 70 times 7 in a day. How many, who will offend you like that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Unforgiveness is like a form of emotional or mental imprisonment. The person that hurt you, when you see the person, there's something that goes in your brain, in your mental state. It's emotional imprisonment. Let go and let God. Hallelujah. If you must release yourself, forgive the other person. All forgiveness has to be voluntary. It has to be intentional. There are people that say, no, me and that bro, we can't be in the same team. We can't work together just because of one thing, and it will not let go. If you love God, and God is love, and you are God-like, then you should let go and should forgive. Not because that person qualifies, but because you want to obey God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. If you don't forgive, it's like being in bondage. It's the person you have not forgiven. It's not that person that is in bondage, but it's you. Because the person is just enjoying his life. The irony of it is that the person might even go and reconcile with God. And God will forgive the person. And then the person is enjoying his life. And then you are carrying the person in your heart. There are many people, they are working so hard in church. Their prayers are not answered because of unforgiveness. There are many people, their sickness. I heard the story of a woman. She had cancer of the blood, leukemia. And with that cancer of the blood, she went to several places. There was no remedy. And then she was given a few weeks or thereabouts to live. And then a doctor came in, who is a born again. The Lord ministered to the doctor that this person has someone that she has not forgiven. And called the woman and said, the Lord told me that there's someone you have not forgiven. Who is that person? He said, it's my father. He said, what happened? He said, when I was very young, my father sent me out on errand. Before I came back, I saw that my mother was dead and they were putting my mother in the grave. And nobody told me anything. Shortly after that, this other woman came in. So I had in my heart that my father and the woman connived to kill my mother. And since then, I've been holding that unforgiveness. The doctor begged her, please, I know it's hot. Forgive. As soon as she forgave, it wasn't easy. According to that report, in less than 6 weeks, cancer dried up. Praise the Lord. So when you forgive, you're actually doing yourself a favor, not the other person. That person has his own account to settle with God because you are not the judge. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when you forgive, you're actually doing yourself a favor. As a matter of fact, Forgiveness is not about others, it's about your own spiritual growth. It's about your life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." If there is anybody that does not sin here, lift up your hand. You don't have sin at all. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory. Every day we sin against God. And we want God to forgive us. And we are holding others in our mind, in our heart, for some things wrongly said or wrongly done or done in ignorance or sometimes done willingly, deliberately, maliciously. You say, if you don't forgive that person, God will not forgive you. Now, why do we need to forgive? Quickly. Number one, you need to forgive for your personal, spiritual, ahead benefit. For your personal, spiritual, ahead benefit. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone." When you allow your spirit to be broken, the bone dries, sickness comes. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18, 14 said, "The spirit of a man sustains his infirmity, but the wounded spirit who can bear?" So when you release that person, your spirit is not wounded. You are transferring the problem to the person. It's like ROTS, return to sender. Somebody send an offense to you, so you carry another person's load. Say, no, ROTS, return to sender. Praise the name of the Lord. Number two, why do we need to forgive? It's an act of obedience to the commandment of God. An act of obedience to the commandment of God. It's an act of obedience to the commandment of God. Number three, why do we need to forgive? Forgiveness removes hindrances to answers to prayers. We have in our time prayer team, prayer machines within the prayer group. They are harboring unforgiveness. It's not the enormity of your prayers, but it's the one that God answers that matters. If you now provide, lock your heavens due to unforgiveness, it's your fault. But if you want your heaven to be open, forgive. Hallelujah. Like where we read, if you forgive not men their trespasses, God will not forgive you. The next one is, forgiveness is medicinal and therapeutic. It's medicinal. When you forgive, you live heavy life. When you carry people in your mind, this it brings sickness, it brings, you know, all manner of, it opens you up. You become vulnerable. But if you don't carry anybody in your mind, in fact, people like Pastor Yadebo, what they do is advance forgiveness. But there are people that they profess and confess advance forgiveness, but in reality they don't. They can tell you why they don't greet this person because of what happened in 1962. Praise the Lord. 1975. But they say, no, I forgive ahead of time. We are talking about your life. Forgiveness is about your life, not about the other person. The next number is, forgiveness leads to freedom from torment and pains of offenses. Offenses have torment. They are painful. They are hurtful. Especially when it's a very close person. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Something happened between husband and wife, best friends, you know, even among pastors, anybody, it happens. That's why there is betrayal. But you need to forgive. You need to forgive. The next thing is that forgiveness makes your offering to be acceptable. How many of us want our offering to be acceptable to God? Praise the Lord. So, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, he said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, you bring your offering to the altar, and you remember that your brother has something against you. This one is not that you even offend that brother. You know that the brother has something against you. Because in our time, we can say, well, I know I'm right. I know I didn't offend the person. He's saying, you know that the person has something against you. Say, leave that your gift. Go there. Say, you remember that your brother has aught against thee? Leave your gift before the altar. And go your way and reconcile with your brother. And then you can come later. It's as serious as that. Leave your gift. God is not interested in your gift as much as he's interested in your life. Forgiveness is about your life. Praise the Lord. Now, the nice thing about why do you need to forgive? Because forgiveness turned the battle over to God to fight for you. And it will give you victory without a fight. You know, the battle is sweet when God is fighting for you. When God is fighting for you, things will just be happening. Sometimes they will even be suspecting you. You are not doing anything. God is just the one fighting for you. Praise God. He's the one fighting for you. Allow God to fight for you, and you enjoy very sweet and enjoyous life. Praise the Lord. Forgiveness should be a lifestyle for every Christian. If you are made in the likeness of God, and you are God-like, and God is love, love and unforgiveness, they don't cohabit. You cannot have someone in your mind, and then you say you love God. There are a lot of pretense in these days. Everybody wants to impress, especially these days of internet, want to impress people that are not real. Online people are not real people. Praise the Lord. They are just online. In reality, it's different. That's why you see someone that is standing beside a Mercedes Benz online and does not even have a bicycle at home. Because it's a fake life. They want to make impression. Christians should not be like that. Especially in the things of God. Who do you want to impress? Everybody can clap for you. And God is saying you are not nothing. It's better for you to get the applause of God than to get the applause of men. Praise the Lord. So when you forgive, it makes you to be at peace with God. Somebody read for me Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, 13. Another person read Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Another person, Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Can we have people to... Okay. Praise the Lord. Say, forbearing one another. Accommodate one another. Praise the Lord. Many times we judge people by their past, what they did yesterday. But we forget to know that they are today. The transaction they have with God today is what determines what their future is. Because Peter, he denied Jesus yesterday. But Jesus told him today, feed my sheep. He didn't judge him. Do you know the greatest thing is for somebody to look at you in the face and deny you? Say, I don't know you. Right? Face to face. And do you know Jesus did not answer any word? Forgive him. He only asked him, say, don't you love me more than this? He said, I love you. Say, then feed my sheep. And Peter became a pillar. Praise the name of the Lord. Who is reading Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Is there anyone in the house, inside of your heart, they see bitterness? What this sister did to me, I can't forget. What this brother did is unbearable. The Bible says, let bitterness or wrath or anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Evil speaking. There are many people, they can't sleep in the night because of the evil somebody, a brother or a sister has said concerning him or her. They call someone's name behind him. They shave somebody's head behind him. And you are brothers. Gossip is not the gospel. You are meant to preach the gospel. You are not meant to gossip. Because many are in pains because of gossip of brethren. Let your name not be mentioned among it. Says, verse 32, and be kind one to another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you know that God has forgiven you, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you know that even as God has forgiven you, that whoever has offended you, you will forgive that person, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are doing it to honor God, not to honor man. And as you do it, God will reward you in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Who is reading that? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Please, what do you understand by that? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Do you know that sometimes it's not only your action that offend God, your inaction can be a sin. Maybe God expects you to do something and you are not doing it. For example, God does not look at faces to judge. If these two people, God forbid, you commit offense and they come to me, they say, somebody has stolen. And I want to find out who is that person before I condemn whether this is bad or good. If it's the person I don't like, say, oh no, that's I just heard today that somebody is sentenced to death for stealing 57,000 naira. A court in Nigeria has sentenced the person to death by hanging. 57,000 naira. Not that he has killed someone. But meanwhile, politicians, they carry billions and trillions and they release them. Praise the Lord. They look at faces. God does not want you to look at faces. God is a God of justice and fairness. Praise the name of the Lord. So do to others what you want to be done unto you. Somebody shout hallelujah.
It
says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. So, the check is in your hand. If you don't want God to forgive you, don't forgive them. Begin to explain that this thing is so terrible I can't forgive. You are only saying, God, don't forgive me. Hallelujah. Somebody reading Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, 3 to 4. Brother Destiny. Luke 17, 3 to 4. Okay, let Destiny, sorry. Okay, you know, okay, go ahead. Praise the Lord. Now, let's even look at some biblical examples why unforgiveness. Number one, we all know the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 5. He sinned against the father. But when he came, the father forgave him. It was unconditional. Even when the guy was coming and said, well, I'll tell my father I'm no longer worthy to be your son and all that, the father saw him from afar. I want to believe that every day the father will stay outside. When will my son come? Because the love inside, unconditional love, made him to say, I don't care what he has done, I love him. I don't care what he has done, I love him. I just want him back. And then one day he looked ahead and I saw the son. He ran. He grabbed him, kissed him. That is forgiveness. Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 21. And he arose and came to the father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven, and against your sight, and are no more worthy to be called your son. The father didn't even answer him on that, because it is old syllables. He has been forgiven long time ago. Praise the Lord. Number two, Esau and Jacob. We all know that Esau was betrayed. Esau was betrayed, right? Praise the Lord. But when Esau and Jacob eventually met, Esau forgave Jacob. But there was something that came to my mind earlier today. I said the person that played the key role is the mother of Esau and Jacob. Because she was the one that was doing, you know, making all those arrangements of betrayal. How will the children forgive her? But it's not written. I want to believe that they forgave her. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, and Esau ran to meet him. Esau was the one that was running to meet the person that betrayed him. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. The next one is Joseph and his brothers. Genesis chapter 45, 3 to 5. Joseph said to the brethren, I am Joseph. Oh, hallelujah. I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And the brethren could not answer him, for they were full of trouble. And Joseph said unto the brethren, come near me, I pray thee. And they came. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, the one you sold to Egypt. Now, don't be grieved in your heart. Don't be angry with yourself that you sold me that way. But God sent me before you to preserve you. Joseph forgave the brothers. You know what Joseph went through? With all that, he went to prison for something he knew nothing about. But they threw him inside the pit where there was no water. They wanted him to die, but he forgave them. I'm sure the person that offended you has not thrown you into a pit. I'm sure he has not sold you into slavery. But Why are you not forgiving that person? The next one is Moses forgave Miriam and Aaron. Numbers chapter 12, verse 13. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. They rebelled against Moses, but Moses forgave them. I was pleading for them. The fifth one is Jesus. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, when they crucified him, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted the raiment. Can you, at the point with the pains that Jesus went through, and you are asking for forgiveness for those people? Think of it. What Jesus went through. Have you gone through that? I'm sure there's nobody humanly living that has gone through the pain that Jesus went through. And he could say, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Let's take the next example, Stephen. In that chapter 7, verse 60. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice. Say, Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. And when he had said that, he died. They were stoning him to death. And before he died, he said, God, please, I have forgiven this one. Don't lay the charge against them. If these ones did that, what is it that you cannot do? Paul was forsaken. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Say, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Abandoned. Have you been forsaken and abandoned? Paul was in your shoes. But all men forsook me, according to Paul. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Say, God, don't write it against them. I have forgiven them. They all forsook me. I don't know who has abandoned you. But the good news is that God has not abandoned you. In the name of Jesus Christ. So I want us to ask some questions now. And if you have written some questions, pass them on. And we are going to try to answer them. Please, let's coordinate that. The ministers are also here to help in the answers where possible. Yes, please.
And the person went to his pastor to pray for him. The pastor said, let him go back to the person to ask for forgiveness. So what will you do? Well, we have already forgiven the person. What will you do in this scenario, or this case?
He's obeying instruction. And even not long ago, somebody came to me, did so many unprintable things, and he came and said that by divine leading, he wants to come and ask for forgiveness. I'm forgiving him. I prayed with him and released him. Recently, maybe like last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't think it's up to 2 weeks, somebody also sent me a message and all that. Please forgive me and all that. Look, let go and let God. That's the most important thing. You see, because there are things you have done in error that could have put you even into a deeper issue. But God helped you. So, one, you need to forgive that person. And if the person comes to you, let the person know, well, I'm forgiving you. If you need to pray with the person, pray with the person and release him. But when you have prayed with the person, don't use the person again. You know, as there's a way you say, I'm forgiven. But in your conversation, whenever the name of that person appears, there's something that still comes in your. If there's anything that comes When the name is mentioned, then that forgiveness is not, he has not, it's not total. For instance, if you are forgiving someone and you're in a prayer meeting, they say, let's hold hands. And you see the sister trying to dodge to another place, doesn't want to hold hand, something is wrong somewhere. Praise the Lord. Yes. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm having two questions. The first one is that, sir, we've learned about forgiveness. It's easy to forgive, but how possible is it easy to forget? And the second one is that there's a thing that happened. There's this lady, during her youth age, armed robber came to their house and raped, one of the armed robber raped her. So when they were about to leave, one of the guys called the name of that guy that raped her. So the name was ringing in her head. So when, by the time she got married, so the husband was not like she was pregnant. Okay, well, if you have a baby girl, this is the name I will name the girl. If you have a baby boy, this is the name I will name the boy, which happens to be the name of that armed robber. But the lady was not like, I don't want to hear this name. So she was not like, after giving the birth, she gave birth to a baby boy, which the husband insisted in naming after that armed robber without his own knowledge. So now, to cut the long story short, when the lady, anytime the lady hear about that name, calling the child, she's not happy. She always felt bitter. And along the line, when they were courting, this lady sometimes stylishly asked the guy, that what if something like happened? A lady did something like this to you, and you get to know, what will you do? He said, I will send the lady out, I can't marry such person. And she's like trying to defend her home, not to pray, because anytime she opened up to the guy is ready to push her out. And she's ready to protect her home. What can she do?
Praise the Lord. There are things that forgiveness related to restitution, you are combining these two now. Now, in forgiveness, okay, you said it's easier to forgive but difficult to forget. I think it's even more difficult to forgive. Because when you forgive, forgetting will not, because once the person is not in your heart, you can easily forget. When you don't forgive, the person will be in your heart. But when you forgive, the person won't be in your heart. You won't feel any wound. For instance, if you are wounded now, you treat it very well, best medical attention, you will have a scar there. After a while, there are some scars that stay for life. There are some scars that go with time. And after a while, you won't even remember that you had a wound in that place. It's a matter of time. As long as that pain is not there, once the pain is not there, it's easy for you to forget. Because you won't. But if the pain is there, it's a constant reminder. You understand? That pain is a constant reminder. Once the pain is there, that means you have not forgiven. Because forgiveness has to do with, there's a pain in your heart, you need to let go. If you let it go, you don't have it again. And once it's not there, it's just a matter of time, you get to forget it. And then there's also that something I want to say. When you are forgiving someone who has done something wrong, does not mean that you don't take steps to avoid what happened before. You need to take steps to avoid what happened. It doesn't mean that you have not forgiven, but take steps. For example, if somebody, this is a practical example. A man went out with a lady to a restaurant. And then the lady, while they were drinking, that one put something inside the drink. The man didn't know. The manager was watching from the CCTV. So the manager came and said, please don't drink this thing. And then the man was, why are you embarrassing me? Until he now came up, said, look, this person has poisoned this thing for you. And they showed the CCTV footage of what she did. Now, if this man forgives this woman, you think she would now want the woman to bring something for him to drink again? He will not do that. That would be stupidity and foolishness. Praise the Lord. See, friendship is by choice, not by force. So when you are forgiving, you can keep somebody, give the person gap. Praise the Lord. You can give the person gap. Do you love the person? Yes, you love him or you love her. But give the person gap. Not everybody must be your friend. You are to love everyone, but you must not be friend to everyone. Is that clear? All right. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Happy New Year. This is my brother, and I'm Chaladu from last online car. I just want to quickly say, with God, all things are possible. This God, his life is like going from one place to another and getting to the same place at the same time. God, in as much as, like me, I carry like a kind of angelic body. To the extent that I believe that, in as much as it is said that what happened in heavenly places, that when God made such a kind of fight between angel Michael and the host of heaven that are there now, and Lucifer and the host that came down and became fallen angel, and that the fight cannot be resolved up to now, that nobody could solve the oracle forgiveness there, and the fight is still continuing up to now to go to the level of even the downward.
Praise
so
the Lord.
Forgiveness is not is limited. It's a kind something that is not very strong in level. Adam and Eve. Joseph did not even forgive Delilah. He just forgive his brother. So many unresolved issues. So you just have to take it as a competition in this life. That just make sure you get to a point whereby you just say you are satisfied and you are going in peace with your life. Otherwise, you are just going to get, as if you get crazy more than your
man. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. One thing we have to learn in life is don't never use another person's lifetime table for your life. Don't use some other person's lifetime table for your life. If you're in a class, you may be given timetable for exam. That's a physical class. But in life, we also have timetable. And in the class, you are alone in your class. The timetable of the other person may not be your own timetable. So don't use some other person's timetable for your life. There are people that they know they are not going to heaven. They say so, and they want to drag others. But the others that say, I want to go by all means. Nobody must be a hindrance to me. Don't ever use other people's lifetime table. If somebody is not forgiving, make up your mind that the word of God says I should forgive, and I will obey the word of God. Others can decide not to obey, but choose to obey. Because heaven is a choice, and hell is a choice. Praise the Lord.